have Haley Elwood. Haley, thank you so much for jumping on with us. Gilbert, nobody wants to see you.
Haley, get me off the screen. Sorry.
Haley, how are you doing? Thank you so much for jumping on with us.
I'm good. What's up, guys? Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Yes.
Loud and clear. Right, cool. Perfect. And Haley, why are you nervous? I've seen you on the big screen at the Super Bowl many times. So
I didn't know this was live, but like weirdos, yeah, that was my bad. That's what you guys just brought up. So we'll add to it here. No, happy to be on, happy to join you. We didn't get to do this at the Super Bowl. That would have been taped. So now we'll just do it live. What's the Bill
exactly.
O'Reilly
thing? We'll do it live. Yeah, exactly. It's a yearly tradition that we've had ever since we started this, guys. For any of you guys that just started following us or jumping on with us, Haley was the first person we interviewed at Radio Row in the LA Super Bowl in 2022. And then first person we interviewed at the Super Bowl in 2023. We were hoping to do it this year. We couldn't, but hey, we still have her on. It's our yearly tradition. It continues. So Haley, thank you so much again for jumping on with us.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. No, I'm so happy to join you guys. Like we said, it's a yearly tradition, a tradition unlike any other, as we like to say, and we're just about, you know, a month late, but whatever, let's do it.
Gilbert?
Yeah, no, I'm ready to ask a question. So I'll go here first, Haley. And obviously an exciting time for the Chargers, a new coach, a new GM, a lot of new players, a lot of old faces leaving too as well. But let's start with the two, I guess, the shot callers, Jim Harbaugh and Joe Ortiz. How's that been so far to kind of get to know them and also seeing it all play out this offseason, Haley?
Yeah, you know, I think it's a really interesting sort of transition as this team is now going through, because this is the root of it, right? Like, this is where their fingerprints are visible on this team and what is going to happen with this team moving forward. And I think, although I haven't really gotten a chance to sit down with those two yet, we'll do some stuff next month, obviously, like, you know, to talk about what happened in free agency and talk about the draft and everything. But in speaking to a lot of the coordinators, basically just the two new ones, obviously Ryan Ficken as well, but the two new coordinators, and getting a sense of what this Jim Harbaugh team is going to be like, there's a lot of cohesion because these are guys that he's known very well. And there's all these familiar ties, right? There's all these Ravens ties, there's these Michigan ties. So there's all this kind of, it's a lot of new faces, but a lot of these new guys know each other. And I think that's going to bode really well in terms of building something and being able to not just kind of pick certain guys and kind of bring maybe some different visions together. Everyone is very clear and has the same vision. And I think you're going to see that on both sides of this team.
So you haven't
spoken to Jim Harbaugh. Haley, real quick, before Gilbert goes, Jorge says you're a real one.
Yes.
Thanks, Jorge. Appreciate it.
And Haley, so you haven't got to talk to Jim Harbaugh then?
Haven't yet.
So what are you expecting is going to be like? Because we all seen the 49er video or the Stanford and obviously at Michigan. He's very animated and, really, I guess, different. We've seen the stories too. A couple of features came out about, I think he got into a nice tub with a full clothes on, and he just seems like a different cat. So I guess, what are you expecting? And have you, caught up on all the stories and things like that?
Yeah, I can't wait. I'm very excited to actually get a chance to sit down and do an interview with him. You know, watching his press conference was a wild ride and so much fun. And so to be able to kind of like sit and get him one-on-one is going to be great. I'll say this, both my parents actually used to work for a local station down in San Diego. They were the CBS affiliate down there behind the scenes. And I was talking to my dad shortly after the Chargers had hired Jim Harbaugh. And he told me years ago when Harbaugh was still playing with the team, he remembered sitting with him at, I think it was like the Chargers blood drive breakfast or something, like a breakfast with the blood drive. And my dad was there and Jim Harbaugh was at his table. And my dad said, I just remember the way he spoke and the way he talked and the way he talked about this team and maybe what was going to happen in the future. He was like, that guy's going to be a coach. And this is not to credit my dad's scouting abilities by any means, but I think this is something it was like a natural progression for him. And I read Daniel Popper's article where he spoke with so many former Chargers players about what playing with Harbaugh was like. And I just kind of think back to that conversation that my dad had where he said, even years ago, even when he was a player, you could tell that this was sort of his destiny. And I'm just really excited to be able to kind of, like I said, sit down with him and talk to him and really sort of get the vibe now that we're seeing this team sort of come together, right? We started free agency, the draft is next month. We're sort of now getting a little bit of a look at what 2024 is going to be like.
Okay, Haley, I got it for you. So for that interview, you're going to be wearing khakis, a hat and a whistle. Like, is that you got to put on khakis at least when you interview him. I think that would be fantastic. I think he'd love that.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I do think a lot of thought goes into my outfits, but I'll see what I can come up with there.
You know what? Somebody, Mimsy, called you a fashionista extraordinaire. So, hey, she's not wrong. So, and a lot of people are showing you love in these comments. So,
thanks, guys.
So we
appreciate
definitely, we all appreciate that. But, so obviously, Greg Roman is known by the NFL world. Jesse Minter is not. Just what did you kind of pick out from his interview? I mean, this is his first time, I mean, being a defensive coordinator in the NFL. He's a young guy. We saw what happened with Mike McDonald when he came over, goes to the Ravens. Now he's the head coach of the Seahawks. But Jesse Minter, just what did you kind of get from him?
I could have spoken to him for like 20 minutes and really we just kind of went on and he was very, very impressive. And I think, you know, when I kind of talk about that familiarity that these coaches have primarily with Jim Harbaugh, he said that's actually going to bode really well for them moving forward now with the Chargers. Because when he got to Michigan, Minter's like, I was the new guy. You know, I was kind of learning how Harbaugh ran things. He was established, but now we're coming into this together. And I know how he likes to run things. One of the biggest takeaways that I had from that interview with him was what he talked about with this defense and how he said, we're trying to not complicate things, but it's going to be a 50-50 situation. It's 50% of what you play and 50% how you play. The what you play, he said, is going to vary because that's going to be like, who's our personnel that's available on our team this week? Who are we going up against? What do they do? And then the 50% of how they play, he goes, that's never going to change. That's the toughness. That's the physicality. Those are the things, you know, these things that we've heard, right? But he said, we're not making it overwhelming. We want these players to do what they do best. And I said, well, how do you do that where you're kind of going to change some things because, you know, he's known to be multiple. He's known to disguise a lot. And he said, it really, really comes down to we're not memorizing play calls. Now, here's the thing. I don't know what that means quite yet. And I can't wait until we get to talk to players when they actually get to dive into this scheme to really hear, like, what is that? But it's not necessarily the play calls. It's more the concepts and how that's going to vary from week to week. You know, we talked a lot about Derwin James, obviously, and he goes, he's enticing because he can do so many great things, but we got to pull the reins back. We got to just let Derwin, at least to start, do what he does best. And that's obviously just, you know, getting off the ball and having him play close to it and whatnot. And so I think all of that, and now you have Khalil Mack back, and you have Joey Bosa back, and you have Thule, you know, who's able to rotate in there as well. So you have these guys, these sort of, you know, veteran players who are now going to learn this scheme as well, coupled, you know, with some new guys that are being brought in or probably going to be brought in during the draft as well. But I just think the biggest kind of takeaway was going back to what I said, even though I said like five things already, just the fact that he's coming in now, even though he is new to the NFL, he's been established with Harbaugh, and that's going to just do really, really great things, I think, for this defense.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. But obviously, you talk about when you look at Greg Roman, just what were kind of some of your impressions from him? Because I know there's been a lot of talk about, what is this offense going to look like? Is it going to be a run first? Is it going to be this? Is it going to be that? Like, what were kind of some of your impressions from Greg?
So here's my thing. Whenever I go into an interview, especially if you're reading things like that and you know you're going to sit down with someone, I wanted to give Greg Roman the floor and try to ask the questions that would elicit a response to say like, hey, here's how we're going to do things. And the biggest takeaway was balance. This is going to be a really, really balanced offense. I was like, hey, you know, we know you like to run the ball, but you got Justin Herbert. And so how do you balance that? And he goes, well, you just have to find a way because you're not running it all the time, but you're not passing it all the time. And he obviously truly believes in being, you know, a better run team as the season goes on as well. Gus Edwards might play a role in that now. But he said, the biggest thing is I want this offense to become a nightmare for opposing defenses. I want this offense to be so multifaceted and change things up that when a defense comes to play the Chargers, it's like, oh gosh, we got to play them. And Fernando, like, you've been around this team for a while and you've watched the Chargers for a while. And we remember, like, growing up in the mid-2000s, that was the Chargers team, right? Yeah. They were a freaking nightmare on offense. And I think that, you know, might it take some time? Sure, because we've seen now a lot of attrition happen within this offense over the last week or so and what's to come. But that was the general philosophy. And he said, ultimately, with Justin Herbert, it's our job as coaches to tap into it, to tap into what he does best. And so I think, look, he laid it out there. We're going to see what happens. Like I said, there's been a lot of change over these last couple days already with this offense. But, you know, this is a deep draft, and I'm sure there's going to be some new guys to come in, and they'll all just build it together.
Can I get a follow-up, Fernando, before you ask your next question to Haley?
No, that was, it's all you now.
Okay. I was just curious because, you know, maybe, I don't know if the subject came up, Haley, but does Greg, hear people say, you know, it's not, you know, 2014. It's a pass-heavy league now. He hasn't been, you know, play caller for a couple of years now. And then the jokes about Herbert running the football a lot more, like, you know, like Lamar Jackson or Colin Kaepernick, two quarterbacks that he worked with. Did that come up at all? Does he laugh about stuff like that, if it did?
I will say this. He laughed a lot. So going into it, look, Greg Roman's been around for a really, really long time in the NFL, and I didn't quite know what to expect. And off the bat, when he was kind of coming in, he was kind of cracking jokes. And I'm like, okay, cool. I can kind of crack jokes, and like, we're good. We necessarily did not crack jokes about that stuff specifically. But I think his ultimate point was, because I also asked, how do you balance like production and efficiency? And his point was, we're here to win. Like, fantasy football is great and stats are great, but our goal is to win games, and us as coaches put these players in the best positions to do that. So, you know, like I said, he laid it out there. We have kind of the blueprint of maybe what's to come. And, you know, we've seen some offensive additions over these last couple of days as well, along with some subtractions, if you will. But I think, you know, as this continues to build, we'll get more of that vision of what's to come. But hey, if he wants this offense to be a nightmare, I'll take him at his word. That sounds great.
Hey, nothing wrong with being a physical team when the trench is in. Fernando, let me ask this question. You can have the next one. But a difficult, I guess, maybe question for Charger fans to hear. Keenan Allen no longer around, and you've been with the team for a long time. I'm guessing you know Keenan Allen very well. And when did the news happen, Fernando? Like late Thursday night? So I'm guessing
Thursday night.
A bombshell for everybody. What did you think about it, Haley? And any stories you want to share from covering Keenan Allen?
Yeah, I think, I think everyone was surprised, obviously, in many ways, you know, just because we had kind of seen like these dominoes fall. We knew like the big four, right? With Mike and Joey and Khalil and Keenan, and that something was going to have to happen there. The Mike domino falls, the other two restructure, and then Keenan's kind of left over here. And so, look, I will not speculate as to the decision that they made. We'll hear from Joe Ortiz and we'll hear from Jim Harbaugh at some point, I assume, you know, like I said, probably before the draft, where we'll find out kind of what everything happened, you know, what went into free agency, if you will. But it's a crazy loss to think that Keenan Allen will not be on this team moving forward. And there's a couple things I actually like wrote down some notes because I thought we were going to talk about this and I had some thoughts. But I'll say this, we talk a lot about, well, actually, I'm going to rewind. We talk a lot about Justin Herbert's sort of impromptu ascension into the NFL and his start. And it's not necessarily a start with Keenan Allen, but if Malcolm Floyd didn't get hurt in 2013 and didn't get, you know, horrifically carted off the field with a season-ending neck injury, would Keenan Allen be who we know Keenan Allen is? And it's just kind of crazy when you go back and you look at the circumstances, because he really couldn't crack. It was, I think, week two of 2013. So it was still early, but you know, he was this third round pick coming off these, you know, injuries, didn't work out at the combine. There was a lot of questions. You know, I actually went back and I looked at his NFL draft prospect like profile, and he was expected to go in the top 25 if his knee and ankle checked out. He went 76. So it is crazy when you look at that and you look at what happened with Malcolm, and the good news was M80 was able to come back and they were able to play together and all of that. But I wanted to say that, and then I'll tell my kind of story that I sort of tweeted the other day. But in 2013, I was a student at Palomar College, and my timeline's really funky. I had already received my bachelor's degree, but Palomar had a great broadcast program, and I really wanted to like learn how to do this, like how to do all the hands-on stuff. And they had a weekly 30-minute newscast. And so I had this crazy idea in spring of 2013 to write Bill Johnston, who was the head of PR at the time at the Chargers, and say, hi, my name is Haley Elwood. I'm a student at Palomar College. I'm in their North County News class. Is it possible to maybe get an interview with the Chargers' first-round draft pick, whoever that is? Thinking he's going to say no. He writes me back and goes, yeah, like whenever we do our introductory presser, which I think was probably on Saturday, you know, like the third day of the draft or whatever, you and your camera guy, come on down. So DJ Fluker is the choice, obviously. And then Manti Te'o goes in the second, and Manti, Fernando, you could attest to this, just like dominates everything, right? Because all of a sudden it becomes, he becomes the story. And then you have this guy in the third round out of Cal, this wide receiver who is just kind of there, and lo and behold, has the indelible mark, makes his indelible mark on Chargers franchise history. And I just think it was really crazy when you look back and you look back at that day and how you had this, you know, guy from Alabama, you had Manti, and then Keenan was sort of just this third round guy, you know, again, coming off injuries, trying to figure it out, and ends up being the like superstar who he was. And I think, you know, one of my favorite parts about being around Keenan were just the conversations that you got to have. I remember in 2017, he told me, he's like, give me 16 games, like give me the 16 games. And I promise you, I will be the best in the league. And okay, so 17 games now, but I think what he did last season was truly, truly incredible to do it at the age that he did. And so I think, you know, one other thing I'll shut up about all of this, but I think one of the best things about Keenan too has been, for those of us who have been around him for a long time, to have seen his growth from this, you know, young kid out of Cal to this very established player, father, husband, teammate, all of that. And how, when, you know, I think at the beginning of his career, it was Philip Rivers guiding him along, and it was Stevie Johnson and Eddie Royal and Gates and Malcolm and those guys guiding him along. And then at some point there's a shift that happens, and he becomes that guy for Joshua Palmer, for the younger guys, but then also for Justin Herbert. And so now going to Chicago, and whoever it is that they take it first overall, let's call it Caleb Williams, if it is Caleb Williams, he, I think, is going to be such a great resource for him because he's done it now with a younger guy and he knows how to do it. And what, you know, better teammate would you want than to have Keenan Allen be paired up with you?
And not just that, Haley, but in 2013, I remember he had a rough go of it during training camp. Mike McCoy was saying, we don't know if we're going to use him against Houston. Remember that game? They were up 24-0. Houston comes back and beats them on Monday Night Football. And Keenan was inactive for that game. So they had thrown him in there in that Eagles game. And all of a sudden, it's like it starts clicking. But yeah, that's what I was telling Gilbert last week, is that I know Gilbert was with him for about 3, 4, 5 years, but I mean, you and I were with him for all 11 years. So it was definitely interesting to see just the way he kind of came in, how he grew, how he was able to be one of those guys. And he always talks about it. He's like, Gates, Eddie, all those guys, like they were always so great with me. So that's what I want to turn around and do. So DJ Moore, you're going to get a great guy who's going to teach you a lot about the game. Because DJ, we've seen exactly the kind of player he's been. So that definitely is going to be interesting to see him now in Chicago. And I'm going to be honest. I'll throw some honesty out there. Caleb, you better be ready, dude, because this guy's going to tell you how it is. Like, he's not going to sugarcoat anything. If he doesn't think like you can rock it, he's going to tell you. So you better be ready for that truth serum, as they say, because Keenan's not going to stay quiet if he's not doing it the right way, to be honest.
I think also, just to interrupt or interject, I think that's kind of part of his charm. Also, yeah. Really quick, when I went back, because I went back to watch a bit of that Eagles game in 2013, and it was a 3rd and 8, and his first reception, his reception went down for 18 yards and a pass interference. So he knew exactly what he was doing back then to draw to draw the flag. And it's so funny because, I mean, it's not funny, but looking back, you hear Greg Gumbel as he's talking about this, you know, it's like 3rd and 8. And he's like, man, this, you know, the Chargers have just, these players, it's so tough. You see one of your, you know, your teammates go down in this horrific fashion. This is where the going gets really tough and you got to dig deep. And then, you know, lo and behold, an 18-yard reception from Philip Rivers to Keenan Allen, and the rest is history.
And even Greg Gumbel said, who's this Keenan Allen guy? Like, I remember at one point he said that. So it was just one of those things where it just completely got going. But yeah, no, Keenan, Chicago media should be excited because, I'm sure he'll miss all of our smiling faces, but I'm sure Chicago media should be excited. But Haley, kind of shifting gears a little bit to the NFL, more money obviously means more money to go play around with. It feels like there's been a lot of movement during free agency. Is that kind of the way you've seen it? I mean, just it seems like so many players are moving. Justin Simmons gets cut in Denver. Like, Russell Wilson's down in Pittsburgh. Justin Fields goes to Pittsburgh. Like, it's just a lot of movement and chaos. Is that kind of week one? I mean, and we're only a week into this, so is that kind of what you've gotten?
It is so crazy. I think in this is my 11th season now, like, working in the NFL. I don't think there's been an off season like this before. In fact, I was queuing it up. My mom sent me this GIF. I'm not sure how clear it's going to, oops, hang on. It's Leslie. No, sorry. Stupid ring lights in the day. She's like erasing the whiteboard. And my mom's like, this is going to be me trying to figure out like all the moves and where everyone has gone. And it's absolutely insane. There is like so much, you know, so many different things that are happening. But then it's funny, you look at like Washington, you're like, okay, Anthony Lynn's over there now, and Austin Eckler's over there, and Michael Davis is over there now. And so it's like you kind of see some like little bunches, kind of similar to how some of these Ravens and former Ravens have now, you know, entered the Chargers. But this is a really, really, really crazy offseason. And I just think, yeah, you know, you have the teams like the Washingtons, I think Chicago had a lot of money that are able to sign a lot of these guys. And then you maybe have the teams like Denver that are sort of now crafting the team and the vision that maybe Sean Payton wants the team to be. This one's nuts though, man. This is a really, really, really crazy offseason. Like you said, we're only barely a week in, and there's probably still more to come. You know, there's still, I'm sure, a couple names out there who are looking to find homes and whatnot, but this definitely feels like an absolutely wild ride of an offseason and of a free agency for sure.